Guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you?
Morena, I'm good, and you?
I'm very well, thanks. I had quite a relaxing weekend, which is nice.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Good, did you get some sunshine?
I did, I went for a hike, that was nice.
Oh, very nice. And you're ready to answer some union questions?
Always.
Fantastic. The first one we've got today is, I'm a bit nervous about going into work because there are more than 10 people and everyone's being pretty chill about protocols. How do I tell my boss that I'm not comfortable with coming into work? I don't know how to approach the conversation.
So I would approach the conversation from a health and safety perspective, and that's the words I would use. Like, you feel that there needs to be more, people need to be less chill, and they need, and your boss needs to be strict about ensuring that their obligations under the Health and Safety Act are met, and that means adhering pretty strictly to those level two rules. So I would really use talk about the health and safety. And I've mentioned before, like, if you have the right to refuse to do unsafe work. So if you do feel unsafe, that's a conversation that you need to have, but it should happen under that umbrella of health and safety. So I talk to your boss about your health and safety, your colleagues' health and safety, and that it's really important if you're going to return to work that the level two rules are strictly abided by. That's how I would start that. And if you have a health and safety rep at your work, that's a really good starting port. Like, you could talk to them first. And if you don't, you should elect one. Because some workplaces, especially small workplaces, don't have health and safety reps, and I think it's something that's really important to have exactly for these kind of conversations.
You've talked about electing a health and safety representative before. How do you go about this? Do you have to ask your boss?
Yep, you just have to inform them that you'd like to have a health and safety election.
Okay, cool. Very easy then.
Yeah.
The next question we have is, I don't know about this one. They've said my boss wants me to work this weekend, but I want the day off. Is it okay to call in sick so I can take the day off? I'm meant to be visiting my family, but can my employer ask for a doctor's note for one day? I feel like we don't endorse lying to your workplace.
Yeah, I can't comment.
Okay, fair enough.
You can say that, but I will say that. You know, I feel like everybody, okay, like, to be honest, I've done that in the past, so I'm not going to make a judgment call, but I can't endorse it either way. But what I will say is that your boss can ask for a medical certificate for one day,
okay.
But they would have to pay for that. They would have to pay for that GP visit. So,
So
if you're sick and you're less, and you've been sick for less than 3 days and your boss requests a medical certificate, they are actually... they're obligated to pay for that visit. So if they do ask for that, they have to pay for that.
Okay, well, that's good to know. This is of a similar vein. Someone said, I don't have any annual leave left, but I need to take my cat to the emergency vet. Am I allowed to use sick leave for that?
So the answer is no. Sick leave is for dependents and for yourself. Now, dependents, in a just world, I would say that pets would come under that umbrella, but in this current law, they don't.
Cool.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought for a second. They don't come under that current law. That said, you can talk to your boss because they can offer discretionary leave you know, you might have to take a day of unplanned leave. Some places will have that in their contracts that, you know, you can, there is such a thing as pet leave in some contracts. So just have a look at your contract.
Okay,
I think it's the first thing to do, yeah.
Awesome. Someone else has said, my work has no heating or air conditioning. So in the winter, it's really cold and really hot in the summer. Is there anything that I can do?
So this is, again, another health and safety conversation. I think, not being cold or overheating at work is definitely a health and safety concern. So, again, do you have a health and safety rep? If you don't have a health and safety rep, maybe it's time to get one. And that's a conversation that needs to be had at a health and safety level. I think it's a really important one as well. Like, I know a lot, especially in summer, you know, it can be really dangerous working in really hot conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone else has said, I normally work in a restaurant 5 days a week, but my work only gave me the part-time wage subsidy. Is that wrong?
So it depends how many hours you work. It's not necessarily how many days, but I'm assuming this person works at least, you know, 30 to 40 hours. a week, and if so, then you should have gotten the full-time wage subsidy. It does depend on the hours you work, so you need to go and have a look on the wage subsidy rules. I'm not offhand, I don't actually quite know the number, but I believe it's 30 hours or less you're counted as part-time.
And is that based on your last 6 weeks of work?
Yep, your last 6 weeks of work. So that would depend on how many hours you work, and if you meet that criteria, not necessarily the days that you work. But if you do meet that criteria, you should have been given the full-time wage subsidy. Mm.
Okay, and lastly, someone's asked, what's the longest shift that I can work?
So this is a pretty interesting question. I wondered if there was any legal kind of restrictions on shifts, because what I knew of the law is that actually it didn't define a shift. So usually a shift is obviously 8 hours. That's a normal working day. But we know that a lot of shift workers work 12-hour shifts. The truth is, in the law, there's no definition of how long a shift can be. But again, this is health and safety legislation says that that working hours and working structures need to be safe. I would say a shift over 12 hours sort of would veer on being unsafe.
Mm.
So your work contract should define what your working day is. It should define the hours that you work. So that's a question. If you feel that you're working unsafe shifts, I mean, a lot of these questions come down to we need to have unionized workplaces where we can collectively bargain for better conditions, because, as you know, we're talking about sick leave and all of this. A lot of the time, the law isn't enough. You know,
we
actually need better conditions than what employment law currently allows for. So, I would say that my answer to you is there's not necessarily any restrictions, but it does need to be safe. I think after 12 hours, it veers into unsafe territory.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a member of a union, please consult your union rep. If you're not, go to the Citizens Advice Bureau or even the Community Law Centre and just have a chat with them. Do have a look at your contract to see what a regular hour, work day is and what it looks like. Some people are on call, like firefighters are on call 24 hours a day, but they sleep. So that's different. That's kind of different. So it does need to be safe.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Justine.
No worries.
And we will talk to you about more union questions next week.
Next week. Awesome.
Have a lovely week.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland union representative Justine Sachs.